The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, thank you for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso. And you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus goes into a synagogue and he opens the scroll of Isaiah and he reads this passage, which is in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners." And then Jesus closes the scroll and he looks out at the crowd and he says, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled." And I just kind of want to pause here and look at this a little bit, where Jesus is proclaiming to this crowd of people, God's Spirit is upon me, and I am going to bring freedom to the captives. I'm going to release from darkness the prisoners. I'm going to bring good news to the poor. And actually, if you continue reading this passage in Isaiah, it goes on to say to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to comfort all those who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, and bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, to give the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of despair. There are all these things that the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus for him to accomplish. But I actually want to talk about how this applies to us in this day. Because notice here, the Spirit of the Lord, when it says the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the Spirit of the Lord is not upon you for your own ambitions or desires or wants, right? The Spirit of the Lord is upon you so that you will go to those who need the move of God, who need light, who need deliverance and freedom, so that you can bring it to them, right? So God wants to anoint his church so that we can be the light that he has called us to be. We are not anointed by the Lord for our own sakes. We are anointed to be a blessing for others and to be a representative of God here on earth. We've talked in the past about how we as Christians kind of have to get our focus away on focusing so much on the blessing and rather focus instead of where is God sending you and how can you be a light to others? How can you be a blessing to others? Because every one of you who is hearing the sound of my voice right now, God has a calling on your life that he wants to anoint you with his Spirit, so that when he sends you there, you will operate in the supernatural, you will do great works for him, and you will transform that arena that he sends you to. But there's a really important piece to this passage, which is that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, right? So sovereign means that God has complete authority over you. Because to be sovereign over domain, that means you have complete and absolute authority over that domain. Okay, a lot of Christians talk about Jesus being their savior, and they'll say Lord and Savior, but they treat Jesus as their savior and not their Lord. You see, in order for the Spirit of God to come upon you in power in this manner, God has to be sovereign in your life. He needs to have the highest authority and the highest priority above anything else. And this is one of the reasons why there is no power in the church, or it's been lacking for many years. Because as Christians, we often will make our plans, we'll arrange our life, do the things that we want to do, and then we pray and ask God to bless them. But you see, that's not what it means for God to be sovereign in your life. In order for God to be sovereign, that means that he's the one mapping out your life plan. He is the one that is arranging your schedule, your priorities, where you go, what you say. And so we, the church, we kind of have to get into that mindset where we're going to make God sovereign and we're going to allow him to lord over our lives. And as we do that, then he will send you out and he will send you out with his spirit upon you in power. And you will proclaim freedom for the captives, those that are in bondage now, you will release them from their bondage. Those who are mourning, you will be able to give them the oil of joy. And it says they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting for the Lord for the display of his splendor. Okay? God wants his glory and his splendor to be displayed through you. And that is something that is so amazing. It continues in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 4. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. And brothers and sisters, I want to tell you that in the world, there are many of these places where there are ruined cities and devastation. I want you to think, for example, of the healthcare industry. Many people don't really think about this, but the modern healthcare system was founded by the church. Hospitals were opened by church ministries so that they would be a light and be able to heal the sick. They were practicing the Great Commission, go into all the world. This is the reason why so many hospitals, right? You have your Baptist hospitals, your Methodist hospitals, your Catholic hospitals. That's the reason why there's so many hospitals named after saints like St. Luke, St. Mary, okay? Or they're named after different denominations. You know, you got your Methodist hospital, your Baptist hospital. It's because they were founded by Christians. The church established the modern hospital system to heal the sick, to bring hope to those who do not have hope. And what I want to make us realize is look at what has happened to the modern hospital system, how far it's got off its course, where now the priority is that we're going to medicate you as much as we can. We're going to try and extract as much value out of you as we can, right? And so now people go into hospital and man, some of those places are depressing. It's full of pain and hopelessness. It's a depressing affair because people are being put in there and they're just going to drug you up and they're going to run some tests and they're going to prick you and all these things and then send you on your way, right? And they're incentivized to take on as many patients and book as many appointments as possible because they make more money that way. So the medical industry is an industry that is like one of those ruined cities. Originally, it was something that was intended for good. Now it's full of corruption and wickedness and darkness. But it says here, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations, right? So part of our job as the church is the medical industry is an industry that is going to be transformed by the move of God. And he wants to anoint his church with his spirit that we will transform the medical industry forever. And this is just one area of our society that I'm showing as an example as these ruins that need to be rebuilt. But you can look to any corner of our society and there's all kinds of messes. You could look at education, you could look at politics, you could look at the dating market and the marriage rates in this country. There are ruins. People are not living the life that God intended for them. And so God wants to anoint you, his church, his body, so that his spirit will be upon you. And that when he sends you, wherever it may be, some of you he is going to send to the healthcare industry, that you will bring freedom to the captives. You will bring hope when there is only hopelessness. You will bring life when there has only been death spoken. And you will rebuild those things that have long been devastated, right? And this is why preaching alone is not going to cut it in this day. We can't just go around quoting scriptures. He needs people that he can anoint and send out. You know, that is God's intention that, you know, I've been talking about the healthcare industry. It's God's intention that the healthcare industry in this nation would be completely transformed for Christ. That from its foundations, it would be rebuilt in a way that brings hope to people and shows the goodness of God and brings healing. There are so many people that every night, every day, they are suffering, they're in pain, they're crying out, and a lot of them don't have God. We, the church, can be the hope to them. We can show them the light. And it matters so much more than any of our doctrines. For example, one day, this crippled woman comes to Jesus on the Sabbath, and Jesus heals her. And the Pharisees, the religious leaders at the time, were so indignant. They said, you know, there's 6 days to be worked. Come and be healed on one of those days. Don't be healed on the Sabbath, right? They're so indignant and prideful of their traditions and their ceremonies. But Jesus answered them. He says, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall to lead it out and give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, should she not be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? Right? God sees all of these people who are suffering, who are just going from doctor to doctor to doctor, treating the symptoms, undergoing tests, getting poked and prodded, suffering through pain. God sees all of that. And he wants his body to bring healing to those people. But in order for this to happen, God must be sovereign in your life, and he will send you with his Spirit, and his Spirit will move powerfully through you. And it's not just in the healthcare industry. In every sector of society, God wants to send his church out to move in power. In the past, I've talked about John Quincy Adams, and John Quincy Adams is the only president in our history who, after serving as president, went back to Congress as a congressman. I don't know if you've ever seen any of these pictures, right? They've got the photos of each of the presidents before and after they left office, right? You got George Bush, you've got Obama, you've got the Clintons, and you see the photo of them before they become president and after they become president. Before, you know, they got brown hair, they're looking, you know, they got a bunch of life in their eyes. And then after they've been president for 8 years, it's full of gray, wrinkles, they look stressed and tired, right? I guarantee you it's not an easy job. Whether you agree with them politically or not, it's a job with enormous stress. And yet John Quincy Adams, after he had served his term as president, decided, you know what? I still need to go back to Washington. I still have a job to do. So he ran as a congressman and he went back and became a congressman there in Washington, D.C. And the reason why he went back to Washington, D.C. is because he knew that God had placed a calling on his life that was not yet done. And that calling that was on John Quincy Adams' life is John Quincy Adams understood that slavery was an abomination in God's sight, and he needed to fight to remove slavery. And that's what he tried to do. In Congress, for years and years and years, he wanted to propose legislation to make slavery illegal in America. And you know that John Quincy Adams actually had a favorite scripture. It was this Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for the captives. And I guarantee you, you know, if you've ever highlighted or underlined your Bible, I guarantee you right there, John Quincy Adams put a big highlight or he circled that section. God has anointed me to proclaim freedom from the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. And that's what he did. For year after year after year, he wanted to try and convince enough congressmen to join his side to abolish slavery. But what happened is, you know, some of the people, I don't know if you know this, but even back during the time of our founding fathers, they were corrupt politicians, okay? And what they did is they issued a gag order. They said, we'll discuss any kind of petitions, any kind of things regarding any topic except for slavery. We will hear no petitions, no arguments. regarding slavery, and they took a vote on it, and it passed. And this was effectively a gag order that was voted on by Congress that said that they are not going to talk about slavery. And when that came out, John Quincy Adams said this to the media. He said, "I find this resolution to be unconstitutional," which, yes, it is, right? The idea that we're going to discuss in Congress any topic except for this one topic is absolutely unconstitutional. And, you know, maybe this should be a surprise to you, but did you know that back in those times, there were politicians that were doing things and passing laws that were unconstitutional? I know it may seem shocking, but there were corrupt politicians then, and there was righteous politicians then. Just as in this day, there are corrupt politicians today, and there are righteous politicians today. Because every era, there are wicked and righteous men and women. But it is up to the righteous to act according to the leading of God. So John Quincy Adams took him 10 years to get this gag order removed just so that they could talk about abolishing slavery. But every time a new congressman came there into D.C., he took them under his wing. He said, "Look, we've got to free the slaves. This is such an important thing because in the eyes of God, this is a sin. We need to make this right." And he would take new congressmen under his wing. He would train them up. He would show them how this is the will of God that the slaves would be freed. And you know, it was actually the perfect will of God that America would make slavery ended legally, that we would not have to go to war. It was never God's desire that America would have a civil war, but unfortunately, because the stubbornness of the hearts of men don't always yield to the will of God. Now, John Quincy Adams never got to see slavery ended in America. And one day, a reporter asks him, he says, "Look, John Quincy, you've been doing this for many, many years, and you have made no progress. Why do you keep doing this?" And John Quincy turns to this man and says, "Duty is ours, results are God's." And this is what he understood. "God has anointed me and appointed me for this time, and my only job is to obey him. The results, that's God's job. He's got to take care of it, right? If the sea's going to get parted, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to just go where he sends me and God will part the sea." You understand what I'm saying? So he said, "My only job is to obey God." Now, unknowingly, you know, I talked about how John Quincy was training up new congressmen that entered DC. He had no idea that one of those young men that he took under his wing was a young congressman by the name of Abraham Lincoln, the man who would free the slaves. So while he didn't see the manifestation of his obedience to God, he unknowingly trained the man who would fulfill God's will here on earth. And so I hope this is encouraging to all of you, because every single one of us, we have a calling of the Lord, something that God has placed us on this earth to do. You have a great mission to accomplish, but we have to submit to God. I guarantee you, John Quincy Adams, he probably was tired, especially after being president. He probably thought, "Maybe I'll retire. This has been too much." But instead, he decided, "No, I will treat the Lord as sovereign. God put me on this earth to accomplish this task. And so I am going to fulfill what God has called me to do." And when we choose to do that, miracles, signs, and wonders will follow you. His Spirit will be upon you in power. And so today, actually, I'm going to release into the atmosphere some of these things that God wants to bring forth. I've talked a lot about the medical industry, how God wants to uproot the corruption there and bring forth healing, that his church would be a source of light and healing to all forms of bondage and sickness and disease. So I want to say this to those of you that are hearing me speak now, that are suffering from some kind of sickness or pain or disease, or any kind of medical issue. I want to say to you that God has seen your suffering. He knows that you've been hurting, and he wants you to be healed so that his splendor and his glory will be shown upon your life. This is the day that your healing begins. So for those of you that are believing the Lord, and if you believe the Lord for your healing, I want you to raise your hands up now. And I want you to say this: God, I believe that you are a God who heals. God, I know that it doesn't matter what the doctor says. It doesn't matter what I think or feel. And it doesn't matter what the people around me say. Because you have all the power and you have all the authority. So if you say that I am healed, then I am healed. Now raise your hands up. In the name of Jesus, I loosen forth and release the healing power of God Almighty upon your life now. I say, hearts that are not well, you are now strong and healthy in the name of Jesus. I speak forth lungs that are not healthy. You are now healed in the name of Jesus. I say, cancer, you will no longer inflict pain and suffering, but you are gone and bound in the name of Jesus. I loosen forth healing. I speak forth healing for nervous systems, brain tissue, electrical frequencies, and nerve endings. I say you are healed now in the name of Jesus. I speak forth a removal of inflammation and swelling and pain. I speak forth healing of joints and bones and muscles in the name of Jesus. I speak forth healing regarding digestive systems and stomachs and the liver and kidneys. In Jesus' name, you are healed by the mighty name of Jesus. Those of you that have a damaged hip that causes you pain, I speak forth now healing in the name of Jesus. Every backbone that is out of place, every back muscle that is causing pain, you are healed now in the name of Jesus. Satan, you will not cause harm and pain upon them anymore in the name of Jesus, but instead you are healed because God loves you and he is going to show his might and his splendor and his glory upon your life. And I thank you, God, that those that are hearing the sound of my voice today, that no sickness or disease or any kind of medical ailment will harm them anymore. They are healthy and strong and well from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Every single cell in their body is healthy and perfect because Jesus healed them on that cross. And I want you to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for healing me. Amen. This is the beginning of many exciting things that God wants to do in the church. It is God's intention that his glory will shine so brightly on his church that the world will see it and many will look at that light and they're going to say, I want to know the ways of God. And now what I want to tell you now is those of you that have been healed and brought freedom from bondage, from Satan, be the light now for others. This gift that God has given you, give it to others. Because as I've shown here, if you allow God to be sovereign in your life, his spirit will come upon you so powerfully that miracles, signs, and wonders will follow you as well. And you will be successful on whatever mission God sends you to do. Because that's the kind of God that we serve. And let me tell you, it's not just the medical industry that God is sending us to. He's going to send us to the political arena, education, technology, okay? Media and entertainment, news, all kinds of industries that, you know what? They're not really operating the way that God wants them to operate. And it's time instead for the church to be the ones that are influential, that are creating the terms by which the world has to operate. I'm done with trying to play catch up with the world. It's time for us to be the trendsetters. Amen. So I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. And I encourage you, make God sovereign in your life and go wherever he sends you. We're going to turn this whole world upside down. And it's a very exciting thing. Again, my name is Joshua Sasso, and you've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630, or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.